Joining me now is the commissioner of the Ladies Professional Golf Association, Molly Marcoux-Simon. Hey, Molly, it's a pleasure to welcome you back to Talking Golf.
Hey, Ann. Good. Yeah, how you doing?
Good to have you on again. And, wow, the LPGA will be front and center in this area with four tournaments taking place in literally a span of 6 weeks in May and June in New Jersey. And that's exciting. I mentioned the tournaments at the top of the show. You have the Cognizant Founders Cup, May 10 to 14 at Upper Montclair Country Club in Clifton, New Jersey. You have the Mizuho Americas Open, May 30th through June 4 at Liberty National in Jersey City. Of course, the ShopRite LPGA Classic, June 7th through the 11th at Seaview in Galloway Township near Atlantic City, New Jersey. And then at Baltusrol, none other than Baltusrol, the second major championship on the women's calendar, the KPMG Women's PGA Championship, June 21st through the 25th. So, boy, talk about a Grand Slam home run for golf fans, right?
Yeah, I mean, go Jersey, right? I mean, this is going to be an amazing 6 to 7 weeks, and we couldn't be more excited. I mean, huge golf fans in Jersey and the New York area, Philly area. You know, we sort of hit all of the whole tri-state. So we're hoping that fans come out from all around and, you know, going to see the best golf in the world.
And you have some incredible venues. I mean, Upper Montclair, an A.W. Tillinghast design. I know Robert Trent Jones Sr. renovated it back in the 50s, but, you know, that's an incredible golf course. They've hosted tournaments for all three pro golf tours through the years. And then Liberty National, what a, you know, venue that is for the Mizuho America's Open. And then, of course, Seaview, that's a Donald Ross design. He completed it back in 1915, and then Robert Cupp Jr. restored it for the ShopRite, you know, the ShopRite LPGA Classic that's been there for a long time. And then, of course, I mentioned Baltusrol. So the venues are really strong, and not just in this area, but, you know, on the whole schedule, right?
Yeah, no, they are. And that was a big goal of ours, and I think the big goal of our major championships. I mean, these, again, as I said, these are the best women in the world. When you think about how many women play golf around the world, and to be able to say that, you know, the LPGA features the very best, is remarkable, and they should be playing on the best golf courses. And the talent is so extreme that they need to be challenged at the very best. And I think it's also great for our fans to see them playing at some of the venues that the men play and being able to compare, because I think we come out really strong on that comparison.
Well, talk a little bit more about the Cognizant Founders Cup. I just love that tournament because it really honors, you know, the women who the founding members of the LPGA.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think a lot of people know the story of the 13 founders of the LPGA. I mean, the LPGA was founded in 1950, which, you know, we've been celebrating over the last couple of years, Title IX, the 50th anniversary of Title IX. So this was 22 years before Title IX. And women were making money playing golf and were really doing it on their own in a time when, you know, people weren't really even accepting of women playing sports, let alone making sports their profession. I always look at this stat, Babe Dietrichson-Zaharias, she made $14,000 in 1950 playing golf, which, you know, $14,000 sounds like nothing, but when you take that present value of that money, and it's something like $235,000 or $250,000 in today's earning power, which is pretty remarkable given where women's sports is even now today in 2023. So these were a group of remarkable women who had a passion, had a vision. They wanted to change the world. They wanted to do hard things and show women they could do things that people traditionally thought they couldn't. So this tournament celebrates them and celebrates the accomplishments that they had in golf, but also really in women's sports, but in my mind, for women more broadly. So it's really fun. We've got a number of alumni coming back. We honor founders. Now, really, none of them. We have one founding member still alive, but not able to be there with us. But so we're bringing back, you know, the next group, you know, of pioneers who really started and moved the LPGA forward in that next era. So this year we're honoring Betsy King and Pia Nielsen, which is really fun to be able to look back at their careers and say, kind of, how did you move the LPGA forward? And so they'll be sitting on the perch. We'll have some other alums coming through, and it's a great celebration.
And yeah, I remember seeing Nancy Lopez there last year. Have you spoken to Marlene Hagg? I think she's, what, 89 years old?
Yeah. I have not. You know, I think she's, I have not. I don't know that she's able to kind of be with us. I think she's, you know, has some dealing with some health stuff. And so we're, but Nancy, I believe Nancy's coming back again this year. She always does. She's just such an amazing ambassador of the game. And she's so committed to the LPGA. And, you know, being able to have her there and others is really important for the LPGA, because the traditions and the history are so different and so unique that we love to celebrate it. And so this is one of our favorite weeks of the year by far.
And if I remember correctly, I think the 13 LPGA founders will be inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame next year.
Yeah, all the remaining founders, that weren't previously in the World Golf Hall of Fame are coming in as a group, which is, again, a really remarkable tribute to the accomplishments that they made collectively. And that's really collectively, I think, is the important word. I mean, we have a saying that Mike Wann really coined, is just act like a founder. That's part of our culture. And it's like, you know, wake up every day trying to make the game better, trying to make the organization better, and putting that first. And that's what these women did. You know, they were writing the press releases, they were pounding in the stakes, they were going out selling tickets, they were running all parts of it. And so this is, again, it's a great celebration.
So I know the LPGA has a lot to celebrate. The total prize money on the tour this year, I read, will surpass $100 million, which, I mean, when you look at, you know, where the tour has come in the last, say, 5 or 10 years, that's incredible. And like for the Cognizant Founders Cup, they're based right in New Jersey, and they continue as the tournament's title sponsor. So it's really commitments like these that make that huge difference with the LPGA.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Cognizant's purse is $3 million. We have four tournaments this year over $3 million. We're playing this week out in California at the JM Eagle LA Championship, and that's a new tournament, and the purse is $3 million. Obviously, Cognizant, we've got two others. And it's really just it's a tribute to the value that people see in what we do. So I think in New Jersey this year, before we jumped on the call, I was adding up the purses just in New Jersey. I think it's close to $17 million. KPMG Women's PGA Championships at $9 million. You know, the LPGA, the Shockwave LPGA Classics at $1.75 million, Mizuho's at $2.75 million. So these are big purses that our women are playing for. But like you said, we're playing for $104 million. And I think that'll still grow throughout the course of the season. That is up 50% since 2019, and actually really 2021, because we had COVID in the middle, and 19 and 21 were basically the same amount. So it was about $70 million. That's a 50% growth in those short time. And 10 years ago in 2013, I think we were playing for something like $50 million. So that's 100% growth in the 10 years. So again, I think people are really valuing the product, they're valuing the brand, they're valuing the tremendous talent of our players. And that's resulting in some great numbers for us.
So now I read where the LPGA Tour is exploring a potential merger with the Ladies European Tour. What's the latest on that, Molly?
Yeah, we've been in a joint venture with the LET since 2019, and I think I think it's really important to have clear pathways for players around the world, and to have not have a fractured golf environment. So it's really we're a very mission driven organization. You know, we're about being the leader in women's golf and really in women's sports, and then using our platform to elevate girls and women, both, you know, on the golf course and off the golf course. So we want to provide the clearest pathway for all players, you know, no matter what their dreams are and what they're trying to do. So when we got involved with the LET, I think they were struggling financially. And, you know, we wanted to help grow golf, women's golf. And so that's kind of what the impetus of the partnership was. And now we're just exploring, you know, we're in this joint venture, and we're exploring if there's a larger relationship to be had. But nothing specific to report. We're just talking to players on both sides, you know, both the LPGA and the LET players, and making sure that this would be a good decision for everyone. I mean, we really think, again, a combined and cohesive women's golf environment is really important.
Absolutely. And, you know, Greg Norman said recently that they would love to see a LIV Ladies Tour. And I was wondering if you've heard from anybody from LIV.
Yeah, no, I'm not exactly sure what specific, you know, conversations he was talking about. Again, we're pretty focused on what we're doing, and there's nothing new to report there. We're really, really bullish on, as you said before, on the direction of the LPGA and the tremendous partners that we have who really see the value in what we're doing and our mission and our values. So, yeah, nothing new to report there.
All right. So you haven't heard from anybody over there. But do you think about how it might affect the LPGA if that were to happen?
Yeah, I mean, again, we try not to speculate. We're just really focused. We got our heads down. We're focused on the LPGA and, like I said, the great momentum that we have.
So in a Lynx magazine article last year, you said that only 7 to 8% of all media coverage is focused on women, and only 4 to 7% of sports sponsorship goes towards women's sports. Has that improved at all since last year, do you know?
I don't know that the numbers, you know, again, that number is a little hard to grab onto. People try to find that exact number. I do know that I think the latest statistic I saw was that $57 billion is invested in sports worldwide. And I think $1 billion of that goes to women's sports. So we've got an uphill battle. I think all women's sports are growing and it's phenomenal to see. And we're all in it together. I mean, I think we think the rising tide lifts all boats, and we're thrilled when the other sports leagues, have success and when their valuations are growing and people are like viewership in all sports is growing significantly. I'm not sure if you saw last week, but we had, I think 1.5 million viewers on NBC during our playoff at the Chevron championship, which was phenomenal. I know the NCAA women's basketball had great viewership. I think all the leagues are showing tremendous growth. So there's a lot of room between, whether it's 5% or 7%, there's a lot of room between 5 and 7% and obviously 93 or 95%. So I think we're focused on that, focused on reducing that delta.
And I know in all your travels in business, you advocate for all women's sports, which I think is great. The LPGA has always been a leader. And, if other sports do well, the LPGA is going to continue to do well, right?
Absolutely. I mean, as I said, we had a great summit last week with some of our leaders in the golf industry and some women's sports experts. And we're, as I said before, we're all in this together. I mean, it's sort of like, how do we continue to look differently? How do we break down some of the structures that have existed for a long time that make it hard for us to catch up? How do we think creatively and do things differently in the women's sports world? And so, as I said before, we're thrilled when we see great numbers in women's sports in any sport. And I think we're also drafting off of each other. You know, we had at our event last week that was a really great summit and a really great opportunity for the golf industry to come together to think about how we elevate women's golf. And we had the chief revenue officer from Angel City, which is the one of the NWSL teams out in LA, and she was phenomenal, and Jeff Smith, and she was talking about how they've been innovative and what they've done to grow their revenue and to grow their corporate sponsorship and to get more interest in women's soccer and in the game. And so we share best practices, and we all think about how we can do this together.
I love the fact that you had the PGA Tour commissioner there. You had Seth Waugh there from the PGA of America, and Mike Wan was there. You got everybody. Normally these guys get together at the men's events, but to have them at, the first women's major on the calendar, the Chevron Championship, was key, I thought.
Yeah, and we had Artie Starrs there, who's the CEO of Topgolf, who's a great partner also. And so it's kind of like, how does the golf industry come together to elevate women's golf and use this platform that we have, because golf's such a great sport and we're all so connected. How do we use that platform to, be able to elevate women more broadly? And so it was great. It was phenomenal. We were thrilled that they were able to make it, and they're so committed to us and to what we're doing. And that partnership to me is everything.
Well, you've been the LPGA commissioner for what, over a year now. You're doing a great job. You hit the ground running, and just continued success. It's so exciting for, the best female golfers in the world. And I know it can't be an easy job. I don't know how much golf you can actually play. You're probably too busy, but it's great to talk to you, and continued success, and hit them straight on the golf course when you do have a chance to play golf.
Okay, you too, Anne. Well, I hope you get out there as well. And I do try to play. I got to play last week at Chevron, and I'm going to play this week at the Hanwha Life Plus International Crown. We're playing at Harding Park, so I'm going to play in the Pro-Am out there next week, too. So I got to get my game in order.
I know you're a player. You're a great athlete. Molly, thank you so much. I hope you can be with us again in the future.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Ann.
Thanks so much.